We're thankful that we can continue our worship to God in teaching and preaching His Word. For 1 year, we have been anticipating this gospel meeting with Brother James Watkins. Due to health reasons, he called Tuesday, said he was unable to read the scriptures or even his sermon outlines. He apologized for being unable to come. Called the elders. Brother Richard Gaines had been coming on Wednesday night and speaking for 3 or 4 years. When he first came, several of you came to me and the elders and said, we need to get him for a gospel meeting. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. Called the elders Tuesday, mentioned Brother Gaines, call him and see if he can come. Through God's providence, he was able to come. He works with the Gilroy Church on such short notice. Thankful Brother Richard is with us. He will do a good job in presenting the gospel this morning, tonight, and then through Wednesday evening. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that we can be your children, that we can worship you in spirit and truth. Thankful that we could remember the sacrifice of Christ that makes all this possible. And Father, we're thankful that we can feast on your word. Be with Brother Richard as he breaks the word to us. And as we partake of it, apply it to our lives, that our lives will be enriched, that we can make the necessary preparation that heaven can be ours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Richard Gaines.
If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Let me say while you're turning there, it's good to see everyone who's come this morning for our Sunday morning worship service here at the Green Hill Church of Christ. I want you to know this morning there is no better place for you to be this morning but in God's house, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. In the 122nd Psalm, King David said, I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go into the house of the Lord. So no better place for us to be than in God's house, worshiping him in spirit and in truth. I want to thank Brother August and the elders and everyone here for inviting me to come on these series of efforts. This gospel meeting beginning this morning and concluding Wednesday. I want to say a couple of things before I go into this lesson. I intend on teaching lessons that are encouraging to the Christian. I began that this morning with the Bible class on faith. I'm going to do that this morning, this evening, tomorrow evening, and Wednesday evening. I want to invite each and every one of you to come back for every night, especially those, if you know anybody who is not a Christian. Usually when I preach gospel meetings, and I've preached several of them, I usually use Tuesday night as a night that I can preach the church. So if you know anybody that is not a member of the church, bring them back, especially on Tuesday night. I am going to break down the church, the foundation of it. I'm going to talk about denominations, and I'm going to make it so elementary plain that even a child can understand it, all right? And it'll be hard for somebody who comes on Tuesday to walk out of here not having an understanding that there is one church and the saved are in it. So please make it a point to come each night, but if you know someone who's not a Christian, please be sure to bring them back on Tuesday evening. This morning, I'm going to preach a two-part sermon. Part one is this morning, part two is this evening. And the title of the sermon is, If God Be For Us, Who Can Be Against Us? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, King David was a man, he was chosen as a little shepherd boy out in the field to be king over Israel. And he became popular, very popular amongst the Jews. King Saul was the king at the time. And if y'all remember, the people chanted, Saul killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. And Bible says that moved Saul. It changed his countenance. That from that point forward, King Saul gave a decree for David to be killed. And David went on the run. And David was hiding in caves, and he was running from King Saul. But God was with David. And there was two different times that David stood over King Saul and looked at him and his men while they were asleep. He could have killed Saul, but he spared Saul's life. God was with David. And if you remember the story of David, Bathsheba, and Uriah, when the king was walking on the roof and he seen Bathsheba bathing, and like I always say, he lost his mind. And King David committed adultery. He committed fornication. He had a baby out of wedlock, but God had favor with David. He didn't kill him. David deserved to die, but he did not kill him. He killed the baby that he had instead. Now, I say all of that to say this. King David, in my favorite Psalms, chapter 100, David said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. David said, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. David said, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he who hath made us, not we ourselves. For we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. David said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth until all generations. I want you to understand throughout this gospel meeting that God is good. Now, y'all can say amen, too. And I want y'all to know, if y'all don't say amen, I'll say it to myself. Amen. God is good. And I want you to know this morning, if God be for us, who can be against us? And if you will, Romans chapter 8, verse number 31. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read down through verse number 39. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse number 31, concluding at verse number 39. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Rome, says, what then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If God be for us, who can be against us? We talked this morning, for any of you who may have not been here, about faith this morning. And I want you to know this morning that we all, as children of God, ought to be standing on God's side. Paul said in 1 Corinthians that we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God was pleading through us. It behooves you as a child of God to be on God's side. You can't fight against God. You might as well join him. It benefits you as a child of God to join God. Because if you join God, God will take care of you. He has promised to do that. In verse number 31, I want to look at a few of these verses and the lesson is yours. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? God wants us as children of God to completely depend upon him. All right? It does not matter how many degrees you have. It does not matter how much schooling you have, where you've been, how big your house is. It does not matter how much money you have in the bank. If you do not trust in God, you're not a very smart person. Because those things can only take you so far. We all need God on our side. Because the devil is busy. You see, we don't respect the devil enough. Think about that. We don't respect the devil. The Bible says he's roaming to and fro, seeking whom he can devour. Now, I've told people back at Gearwell where I preach, when I get up in the morning and I turn the TV on, Brother August, and I watch the news in the morning before I go to work, and I see where somebody got shot downtown at 3 o'clock in the morning, or I see where somebody died in any other fashion, I say to myself, the devil was busy last night. The devil does not sleep. He does not go on vacation. Y'all with me? He's not like me and you. He's constantly busy. So it behooves us to have God on your side. You need God. Because to ward off the darts, the Bible says, of the evil one. But I want you to know we exist on the power of God. Paul said, Acts chapter 17, verse 28, by him or through him we live, move, and have our being. Every breath that you take, the fact that you turn, put your 2 feet on the ground this morning and stood up out of your bed, you did all of that by the grace of God. The fact that you got the right exercise of your mind, the fact that you can move your limbs, everything that you do it because of the grace of God. It is not because of you. A lot of people couldn't get out of the bed this morning. A lot of people went to bed last night and did not wake up this morning. We exist only by the grace of God. Go, if you will, to Colossians chapter 1. Hold your finger there and we'll come back. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 17. Colossians 1, verse number 17. In Colossians chapter 1, verse number 17, the Bible says, and he is before all things, and in him, talking about Christ, all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Now, Christ is very, very important. Go back one page, if you will, to Colossians chapter 1, and let's look at verse number 13. Christ is very, very important in this, all right? Because Christ is working on our behalf. If that wasn't the case, we wouldn't have a chance. Christ is working on our behalf. In Colossians chapter 1, verse number 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of God, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. When you seen Christ, you seen God. He was the image of the invisible God. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, principalities, and or powers. So we exist on God's power with Christ working on our behalf. And I thank God for that. Because sometimes we won't act right. Sometimes we need forgiveness of our sins. Sometimes, as I'll show you in a second, we need a mediator to plead on our behalf as children of God. Go in your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and let's look at verse number 6. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse number 6. Yet for us, there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. So the gift was given for us. Go back, if you will, to Romans chapter 8. The gift was given for us. And that gift is unlike any other gift you'll ever receive in your life. That gift is his son and our savior, Jesus Christ. Look at what the scripture says in verse 32 of Romans 8. He did not spare his own son, I read it again, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? God gave you the best that he had. Y'all with me? God gave you the best that he has. That's why duty demands that you be a member of the church, because he died for the church. Duty demands that you live a certain way. Paul said, and if I shall tarry long, that you may know how to conduct yourselves in the house of God, which is the church of God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Duty demands that because God gave the best that he has, we be a certain way as children of God. But the gift that God gave just keeps on giving. It just keeps on giving. Not only did he give Christ, but he gives us so much more than that. Go to 1 Peter. Hold your finger there. I'll come back. 1 Peter chapter 2. And let's look at verse number 21. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 21. That gift that he gave was perfect. That gift of Christ was perfect on our behalf. Not only was it the best that he had, but it was perfect on our behalf. And we got to be thankful for that. See, that should propel and move us. When you let that radiate in your mind what God has done for you, then that changes you. All right? Jesus said, Matthew 16, if any man shall come after me, let him do what? Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow after me. Because of what he gave in Christ, it should change who you are as a child of God. You don't think the way you used to think. You don't act the way that you used to act. It should change us. The Bible says here, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 21, concluding in verse 25, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our own sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. Christ is on our behalf. He was given on our behalf. Now, I'm going to show you how he's still working on our behalf. But God gave him on our behalf. All right? So I want you to understand this evening, if you're here this morning, I said this evening, but this morning, if you're here this morning and you are standing a guilty distance from God this morning, you are not right with God. You know you have sinned and fallen short of the glory. You know that you are not a baptized Christian. When the invitation song is sung because the best was given for you, you come down here this morning and repent of your sins this morning. Tomorrow is not promised to you. You could walk out here today and die at the hand of a drunk driver. Y'all with me? And the way you die is the way you get up. If you die wrong, you get up wrong. And let me give this to you, too. I wasn't going to say this, but let me give it to you. And I'm not trying to scare nobody, but when you die, you're going to go to a place called the Hadean world. And if you are not right with God, just like Lazarus did, or just like the rich man did, you're going to beg God to come back. Y'all with me? You're going to be in so much torment, you're going to beg God to come back. Brother Gaines, why are you saying all of this? I don't want you to leave this morning standing a guilty distance from God. Get yourself right with God this morning. Duty demands it. He gave the best that he has for you. Now it's time for you to do something. All right? I think one of the brothers said in Bible class this morning, you know, we live in an era where people want God to do everything and they don't have to do anything. It doesn't work like that. God's already done it. Jesus died on Friday evening, rose on Sunday morning. All right, for you and for me. Now it's time for you to do something. The best was given on our behalf. Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. Romans chapter 8. If God be for us, who can be against us? In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We can have a surety when we are right with God. We can have confidence in what we believe and in our relationship with the Lord. I said Christ, the best gift was given for us. Christ is also even now working on our behalf. Matthew chapter 7, if you will. Let's look at verse number 25. We'll look at a couple of scriptures. Matthew chapter 7, and let's look at verse number 25. I'm sorry, I gave you the wrong, Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 25. I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 25. Christ is working on our behalf. Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. God, Christ is pleading on our behalf right now at the right hand of God. He is pleading on our behalf as Christians. Go back, if you will, to Romans chapter 8, and let's look at verse number 33 and 34. Romans chapter 8. Verse 33 and 34. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. And furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. He pleads on our behalf. Why? Because he lived here just like we did went through the same temptations as we went through, and yet was without sins. He knows what we are going through, and he pleads with God. Even though we're not worthy, he pleads on our behalf. Go, if you will, Hebrews chapter 9, and let's look at verse number 24. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 24. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 24, for Christ has not only entered the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. That's what Jesus does. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 5. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 5. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So I begin this lesson by asking, if God be for us, who can be against us? And I told you that it behooves us as children of God to get on God's side. You know, you can come to God your way, or you can come to God his way. But soon, I tell folks everywhere, sooner or later, you're going to come to God. Sooner or later, you're going to need God. Because life is tough, y'all. And one of the things about life is non-discriminatory. All right? Life happens to everybody, no matter who you are. Life happens to everybody. But if you have God on your side, you already have someone constantly working for you. And that is beneficial for us as children of God. But you can't have the good without having the bad. So Paul asked the question, if God be for us, who can be against us? But he also comes in verse 35 and says, what shall separate us from the love of God? There are things in this life that are going to try you. Paul said, let not that deter you from God. He says in verse 35 again, shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Not being hungry, trouble in your life, distressful, any kind of persecution. Paul says down in verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, life, angels, principality, powers, things present, those things to come, height, depth, any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Are you there in your life? That's my question to you this morning. Are you there in your life? Have you made up your mind for Christ Jesus? Is there anything that can separate you from God? I don't know if y'all know it, but you got to put God before mama. That's tough. You got to put God before daddy. God has to be before your children. God has to be before your job, all right? Shouldn't no jobs keep you from being here worshiping God? Now, y'all don't know me. I just tell it like it is, all right? I heard a preacher say a long time ago, don't beat around the bush, just beat the bush. And that's what I do. I just beat the bush. You beat the bush long enough, folks come out the bushes. God has to come before anything and everything in your life. That's where God wants you. Y'all with me? A lot of folks don't get that. But God has to be first in your life. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. And I'm going to give you two examples and give you an invitation, and the lesson is yours. So, go to Acts chapter 4. Peter. Acts chapter 4. You say, well, Brother Gaines, I'm not there yet. Well, that's all right. Peter wasn't always there. Peter, if you know Peter, It took Peter a long time to come to where God wanted him. Y'all with me? You remember when Peter was out there in the midst of that water and the disciples was in the boat and who spoke out and said, "Lord, if it be you, bids me come." Everybody else in the boat, but Peter spoke out and said, "Lord, if it be you." And he started walking towards Jesus, took his eyes off Jesus, beginning to sink. He wasn't at that time where God wanted him. All right? But over time, if you read the Apostle Peter, 1st and 2nd Peter, Peter grew and became strong in the knowledge and admonition of the Lord. And Peter, let's look at chapter 4. And I don't have time, but let's look at verse 17, 18, and 19. So Peter here, Peter and John standing before the Sanhedrin court. And Peter is going all throughout Jerusalem preaching about this man called Jesus. Now, all of this started at the gate called Beautiful back in Acts chapter 3 when Peter healed that lame man that was laying at the gate, if y'all remember. So he's preaching about Jesus, and in Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 17, "But so that it spreads no further amongst the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name. So they called them," that's Peter and John, "commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus." But watch what Peter says. Peter was young and he didn't get it, but now he's starting to get it. Peter says in verse 19, "But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge.'" That's what Peter said. Watch what he says in verse 20. "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So they released him. And guess what Peter and John do? Go right back and start preaching about that man called Jesus. So go over one page, Acts chapter 5. And let's look at verse number 27, 28, and 29. And what I'm doing, I'm showing you a growth process, all right? Because it takes time for us as children to grow, children of God to grow. So he says in Acts chapter 5, 27, 28, and 29, "And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, 'Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with all of your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood on us.'" And watch what Peter says. "But Peter and the apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins.'" And in verse 32, "And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." So Peter got it. All right. Peter got it. Peter now is at a point that if God be for us, nobody can be against us. You can beat me. You can kill us. You can do whatever you want. I am going to preach like I did in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost, that Jewish feast day. I am going to preach as long as I live about this man called Christ. And nothing's going to stop me from doing it. Not nakedness, not pearl, not sword, not trial or tribulation. It does not matter what it is. Go also, let me look at an example of Paul. Go also to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And let's look at verse number 22. Nobody suffered probably more persecution than Paul did. All right? Nobody did that. But Paul had his mind made up also. Ever since his interaction with Jesus in Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus, Paul had his mind up that from now on, I got to preach about this man called Christ. If God is for me, nobody can be against me. And watch what the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 11, beginning at verse 22. This is Paul speaking to the church at Corinth. "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in depths more often." Now, these things I'm about to read, I mentioned in a Bible class this morning, we will never go through any of these things. But look at some of these things that Paul had to endure because of the name of Christ. Paul said, from the Jews five times I received 40 stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils amongst false brethren, in weariness, in toil, sleeplessness often, hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold, Paul said, I was naked, besides the other things which come upon me daily. My deep concern, Paul says, for all the churches. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'll end right here. 2 Corinthians 5. So Peter and Paul understood, and I wanted to give you both of those as an example, just to show you that if God is for us, who can be against us? If God will be with Peter as he stands before the Sanhedrin court, if God will be with Paul while he was naked, he was in peril, he was in sword, he was shipwrecked, he was hungry, he was in the deep, He went through all. If God will do that for him, he'll do it for you. He said, Brother Gaines, how you know that? Peter, in Acts chapter 10, ran across the first Gentile convert named Cornelius. Y'all know who he is? And God, and I don't really have time, but God had to show Peter that the gospel was for the Jews as well as the Gentiles. And he did that by having a sheet come down from heaven. Y'all know that. With four-footed creatures and everything on it. And a light bulb, and I'm just facetiously saying, a light bulb went off in Peter's head, and he got it. He understood. And Peter told Cornelius, of a truth, I perceive that God is not a respecter of person. Whosoever feareth God and worketh righteousness is acceptable unto him. What God did for Paul, he'll do for you. What God did for Peter, he'll do for you. He don't love Paul no more than he loves you. He don't love Peter no more than he loves you. So if he's with Paul, who can be against him? If he's with you, who can be against you? Can't no weapons formed prosper against you if God is with you. This morning, as I offer invitation, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if God be for us, who can be against us? We exist on the power of God. He gave you the best he has. God is not going to change. And let me just give you that. God's not, if you're here this morning and you're waiting for God to change the gospel or relax his requirements on what you have to do to be saved, he's not going to do that. Y'all with me? It was here when we got here. It'll be here when you die. That's not who God is. If you're here this morning and you're not a member of the church, you must be baptized for the remission of your sins. You got to hear the word, believe it with all of your heart, repent of your sins, confess Christ, and be buried with the Lord in baptism for the remission of your sins. Once you do that, Acts 2:47, praising God, having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. The saved are in the church. Amen. Y'all believe that? You got to ask that today because some churches of Christ don't believe that. There's only one church and the saved are in it. And you must be added to it through baptism. If you're here today and you're not a member, you are a member of the church. Maybe you have fallen short. As I said earlier, maybe you're standing a guilty distance from God. James says in James chapter 5, confess your faults and be ye prayed for, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. It availeth much. You come this morning, come down this morning, tell God you're sorry, and God is a faithful and just God, that if he examines your heart and he sees that you're sorry, he'll forgive you of your sins and remember them no more. But don't leave here this morning not taking care of what you need to take care of this morning. Let me give you these three scriptures. A lesson is yours. Why is this so important? 2 Corinthians 5, 9, 10, and 11. Paul said, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. Why? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. I'm begging you this morning to come. Paul says in verse 11, he begging you too. He says in verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Paul said, because I know God is not playing. I know it is impossible for him to lie. He does not go back on his word. Paul says, we persuade man everywhere. Paul said, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your conscience. There's a day coming. There's a day coming when you hear the shout of the archangel, the clouds will be rolled back as a scroll, the Bible says, and your soul is required. And you got to give an account to God of all things that you have done, whether it be good, whether it be bad. We can stand before the Lord in confidence, Christians, if we live right on this side, if that time comes when we leave, if that time comes next week, or maybe we die and we have to stand before God, we can be in confidence knowing that we have done those things that God would have us to do. This morning, if you need the Lord in any way, if God be for you, who can be against you? Come right now as together we stand while we sing.